Time for the Baseball Insider, Andy Carboni. And I'm Bill Newell, along with Andy. And, Andy, the Red Sox are coming off a big win on Sunday and to head off into the week. So give me your thoughts on the Sunday game.
Well, they took two or three over the weekend in Toronto, Bill, and it definitely was much-needed two wins. They could have actually won all three games when you really break it down. But the game on Sunday was a back-and-forth slugfest, and the Red Sox came from behind multiple times in this one. And David Ortiz had the big home run when the Sox were down to 8-7. He had a three-run homer, put them up 10-8. They go on to win 11-8, and Ortiz comes through in the clutch again, and just shows you how much we're going to miss him next year, having a guy like that around who come through in the big moment.
Yeah, I mean, I wish you could make another one of those guys, huh? Oh, my. Rick Porcello getting his 20th win, first for in the major leagues.
First major league pitcher to hit 20 wins this year. First Sox pitcher since Josh Beckett in 2007. So that's quite a feat for Porcello. No one obviously expected this coming into the season. So obviously he's getting the best run support in Major League Baseball per start. But, he's still pitching well. His ERA is a little over 3. He's obviously not a dominating strikeout type pitcher. He has to keep the ball down, get ground balls and whatnot. But he's doing the job, and they're getting wins. That's all that matters.
All good, all good. Dustin Pedroia, tell us a story about him moving to the leadoff spot and what that has meant.
Well, it has meant a real upstart in the offense for the Red Sox. It's been a little over a month now, I guess, maybe a month and a half, when they decided to make a flip in the batting order, put Betts down at fourth, Ortiz up to third, and then stick Pedroia in the leadoff spot with Xander batting second. And since that time, Pedroia is now up to 455. In the leadoff spot. He had a leadoff hit today against Baltimore. So he just keeps rolling right along, and he's about 10 points away from potentially winning the American League batting title. So he is having just an outstanding season.
Yeah. Now, Andy, the Red Sox are in first place as we talk, but they struggle in close games or low-scoring games, right?
They certainly do. It's feast or famine with this offense. I don't know what it is, but games when they've scored 3 runs or less, they're 7-40 on the season. Obviously, when they're scoring runs by the bunches, they're coming away with wins. But some reason in close games, they just can't get over the hump. But hopefully down the stretch, they can start winning some close games and hopefully head into the postseason on an uptick on that.
Moncado, tell us about that.
Well, Johan Moncada was called up a little over a week ago, and John Farrell and Dave Dombrowski both said he was going to be the regular third baseman. He's a top prospect in Major League Baseball. He's going to be the regular third baseman for the Sox against right-handed pitching. And he did. He played a few games in a row. He got some hits early on, drove in a few runs, made a couple nice defensive plays. But, the shine wore off pretty quick after about 3 or 4 games. He started to get into a little bit of batting slump. He struck out 7 consecutive times, made a couple fielding errors, mental errors on the bases, got picked off. And they kind of decided that that plan is going to take a back seat for the rest of the season. He'll maybe see some time as a pinch runner or come in late in a blowout type of game, but they're going to go with Travis Shaw at third or Brock Holt at times with Aaron Hill as well.
And Shaw, I mean, I'm not following him as closely as I'd like to be, but Shaw's come up with some big hits in the last several weeks.
Yeah, on the road trip, he came through with a couple big home runs on the trip for them. He kind of hits in spurts, and he also can give you a long ball here and there, but he's a steady guy. He's going to bat 250 for you in a good season, maybe hit 17, 18 home runs, and he's fair defensively. But, I think they feel he's a better alternative at this point than Moncada, who's trying to get his feet wet.
Yeah. Any news on Stephen Wright and his shoulder?
Well, the same with inflammation in his shoulder is going down, but he hasn't thrown a ball since the 31st of August. So we'll have to see what happens there. They're talking maybe toward the end of this week. Maybe he'll try to throw off a mound and see how things go, but that's still way up in there. He did have another test done on the shoulder, and there's no structural damage. So I guess that's a good sign, but with the type of first half he had, he could really be used anywhere in the pitching staff at this point. You can always use an arm like that that's doing the job.
Absolutely. Well, and as we do every week when we talk, Andy, we talk about the Red Sox, get some insights, some facts, and some opinions from you. But what about Major League Baseball? We also like to jump out and talk about other Major League Baseball teams other than the Red Sox, and first stop, the Cubs. They're having a fantastic year.
Yeah, they're pretty much going wire to wire in the National League Central. They've reached 90 wins over the weekend. It's the first time the Cubs have back-to-back 90-win seasons since they did it 3 years in a row back from 1928 to 1930. So obviously the Cubs are the odds-on favorite in the National League to potentially get to the World Series. That would be quite a story if Theo Epstein could break the curse for the Cubs to get them a World Series title after doing it for the Red Sox. So we'll see how that all plays out. Story with a little local flavor to it. Milton's Rich Hill, who pitched for the Red Sox off and on over the last few years. He came back to the team last year in September and had some strong starts. He had a perfect game going Saturday night against the Florida Marlins, Miami Marlins, I should say. And he was pulled after seven innings and had only thrown 89 pitches up to that point. And that caused a little bit of a stir, obviously, in the Dodger dugout and around Dodger Nation and around Major League Baseball. But, you know, manager Dave Roberts, former Red Sox outfielder with the big stolen base in the 2004 ALCS, he's concerned about Rich Hill and his injuries this year. He spent time on the DL with blister problem and a groin injury. And his thought was, well, I want Hill for the postseason. I don't want to push it too far. And he took him out after potentially could have been throwing a perfect game. So I thought that was quite an interesting situation that came up on Saturday.
No, absolutely. That's an unusual one.
Pretty much unheard. I've never heard of that before. A pitcher taking out pitching the seventh. You know, seven innings are a perfect game. So that was, and it would have been really interesting if, say, the Dodgers eventually the relief pitcher that came in the eighth inning did give up a hit. But there's never been a combined perfect game among pitchers in a major league game before. So that would have been an interesting little side note if the Dodgers staff was able to do that. There's been combined no hitters, but never a perfect game.
Right, and guys have gone out, you know, if they've walked somebody or struggled here and there throughout the game, and for those reasons they've gone out of no-hit situations, but you're right, a perfect game. Interesting stuff. Now the Mets signed Tim Tebow. Really?
Yeah, they really did. He had his workout for about 20 major league teams a couple weeks back, and I guess the Mets saw something that they liked there, and he's going to report to their instructional league. Tebow hasn't played baseball competitively since high school, so who knows what to expect. He's 29 years old. I guess anything can happen. I don't know if it's more of a publicity stunt. I don't really think it is. Where it's the Mets, I don't think they really have to worry about drawing fans. But who knows? They could catch some lightning in the bottle and something could happen down the road, or it could just be a little experiment that kind of fails. But it was just kind of interesting to see the former Heisman Trophy winner sign on with a major league team. So we'll see what happens.
No, absolutely. Now the Mets, Brian Dozier, and I hadn't realized this, but you were noting that he's hit 25 home runs since the All-Star break.
Yeah, twin second baseman Brian Dozier, he's creeping up on the American League lead in home runs. He has 39 in the season, trailing Mark Trumbo of the Orioles by two, and he had really struggled in the first half. I mean, he did have 15 home runs in the first half, but his average is down around 220, 230. And he's really caught the power bug in the second half of the season. 25 home runs so far in the second half. And he's kind of done it quietly. I mean, not many people are paying attention to the Twins, and he's been sneaking up. And, it's quite an interesting story to see someone like that have such a big power surge in the second half that really no one was paying attention to.
Yeah, and that's such a big number, too, for half of the year. I remember George Scott as a kid, Andy. I want to say it was either 66, 67. And he hit like 20 home runs before the All-Star break, but then he only hit like a couple more afterwards. So I'm not quite sure of the year, so I'm sure somebody would know that. But, maybe he hit a few more than that. But, I mean, when you hit 20 home runs by the All-Star break or a little over 20, whatever it was, and then only hit a handful more the rest of the way, it's a little staggering. So this is kind of a flip of that, I guess. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yep.
All right, what else you got for us, Andy?
Well, another little side note on the Tim Tebow thing, as I was giving some more thought. Mets president John Schuerholz, he has some situations in the past where he has gone for the football/baseball player. Back when he was in the front office of the Kansas City Royals, he brought Bo Jackson to the Royals, who of course was a Heisman Trophy winner and NFL player. And then when he was doing his work with the Braves and they were becoming a powerhouse in the National League, he brought Deion Sanders in to Major League Baseball. So I guess that's a little part with the Tim Tebow thing. Maybe he thinks he's going to strike a little lightning three times in a row and see if we can get another football player to turn into a baseball player. But another note to throw out there, Nationals ace Steven Strasburg, he may not pitch again this season. He has a strained flexor mass in his right elbow. That'd be a huge hit to the Nationals for their playoff hopes. Even though they still have a quality staff, they still have Max Scherzer, who's a 20-game winner potentially this year. He struck out 20 batters in a game this year, so but that 1-2 punch could be in jeopardy for the postseason.
Well, I'll tell you, for months I've been, kind of watching the wild card stuff for the Red Sox. But let's, Andy, take a look at the wild card spots in both leagues for us, if you could. How you see things shaking out?
Well, things are getting quite interesting in the wild card race. The one team that I think a lot of people are kind of sleeping on is the Yankees. Since A-Rod has walked out the door, and they made a few other moves at the trade deadline, trading Andrew Miller and Aroldis Chapman and Carlos Beltran, the team has brought in a lot of young talent. It's been infused in there, and they've been going gangbusters. And Yankees just two games back in the wild card race. Toronto and Baltimore are tied for the first two top wild card spots going into Monday's action. Detroit and the Yankees just two games behind them, and then Houston, Seattle 3.5 back. So it's still quite interesting in the AL wild card race. A lot can be going on between now and the end of the season, so plenty of scoreboard watching. In the National League, the Giants have the top spot. The Mets just a half a game back of the Giants, so they get the second spot in the NL wild card race wrapped up at the moment. But the Cardinals are just a half game behind the Mets, so that's going to be interesting down the stretch. The Marlins, they're the next closest team. They're five games behind, but I don't see the Marlins being much of a factor down the stretch. But, even with the Red Sox having so many games against AL East teams the rest of the way, Red Sox lose a few games, they're back in the wild card race. I mean, yes, they're leading the division by two games right now, but they lose two or three in a row to, say, the Orioles in the series here or over the weekend against the Yankees, and the Red Sox slot down a few spots, and they're in the wild card race. So this could go right on down to the final weekend of the season when the Sox play the Blue Jays. It would really be something for Ortiz's last regular season games if the wild card or division's still up for grabs. So a lot to watch in the next few weeks.
Are you calling that shot, Andy? That sounds like you're calling that one, huh?
Well, I hope not. I think that's a little too much stress down the end. I think most fans would rather see the Red Sox have something kind of locked up before that final weekend. They kind of enjoy Ortiz's last regular season game and not have so much drama in it. But, wouldn't that be something if Ortiz had a walk-off home run in his last game on that Sunday to put the Sox into the playoffs?
Well, clearly the Sox have surprised, and just when you think they're really struggling, and this will be it for them, they've rallied back a few times this year, obviously, and now have that first place, now in first place as we speak. But I think the AL East has been troublesome for them, hasn't it? I don't know if you have the stats, but it seems like those have been their tough games, haven't it? In the AL East,
against Baltimore, for example, they're 6-6 on the season. It's been. Yankee games have been tough, and obviously the Blue Jays games, they're not walking over anyone. Even the games against Tampa, the Red Sox had some issues. So they weren't beating up on the AL East, that's for sure.
Gotcha. Well, there he is, Andy. Anything else to share with us?
Well, hopefully the Sox can take at least 3 or 4 against the Orioles this week and kind of put them in our rearview mirror, but we shall see. David Price on the mound, and hopefully he continues his strong performance. He's 6-0 in his last 6 starts. Hopefully that continues.
Yep. That's Andy Carboni, our baseball insider. I'm Bill Newell on MSONewsSports.com.